man, Mexico lost to England, but they played like their hair was on fire.
The great right? match.
And they were giving everything they possibly could. Paraguay totally outmatched this entire thing. They played like their lives depended on it.
That's right.
We did not play like that at all. We played lackadaisical and we're just standing around waiting for Belgium to beat our ass. And guess what happened? They beat our ass. All right, episode 172. We're back, Rob.
172.
We're back. And I have a little bit of a head cold going on.
Yeah, I can hear that.
So I don't know. I don't know what I'm going to sound like. I mean, for people that binge this, and there are many people that binge our podcast.
Tens of people.
There's going to be a noticeable bloop, like in my audio quality. So
yeah.
I also noticed we're both wearing gray shirts today. So you got the memo.
This is. This is in memoriam of the U.S. being knocked out, very unceremoniously knocked out of the World Cup.
Gross. We never really followed up. I mean, what are your thoughts on that real quick, since we've been on a World Cup kick back to back to back?
I mean, obviously
bad time to lay an egg.
Everybody's said all the things there are to say, and there's obvious political influence and all that other crap going on. I think that we absolutely motivated Belgium. To come out and kick our ass.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, when the team is celebrating their victory by doing the Trump dance and singing YMCA, I think it's pretty clear what their motivations were to come out and kick our ass.
Yeah. Yeah. We single-handedly turned the world.
Tactically, we trained to not have him on the field.
Yeah.
And once we switched that up at the last minute, I mean, the very first goal that Belgium scored, we had three defenders in the box just
standing there
and just let the ball fall right in the middle of them. They're all just looking there. And you know why? Because everyone's confused because they changed things. That's not how they had practiced. Yeah. So I think tactically it totally messed us up. I would have preferred that we went into it, you know, the way that we had prepared for it.
So yeah, I completely concur. I'm glad you brought up that first goal because I was the same thing. It was like you can't let the ball bounce in your 18 right there. You have three defenders right there. Nobody's doing anything. You know.
Yeah.
So in your estimation, do you think all the political malarkey and the this and the, do you think it was a distraction for the team?
1,000%.
Yeah, I think so.
I think it absolutely had an effect.
As much as they say it wasn't, I know it had an effect for Belgium. I mean, they immediately online account was like rescind this or you know what I mean they're you know the amount of shade was unbelievable but as much as they say hey it had nothing to do with anything and we just didn't perform but like I call total BS on that. I think it was
total BS and I think it not only had an impact tactically with the formation change at the last minute. That's not what they had been practicing.
Totally.
I think also just psychologically sports is psychological.
It is psychological. I'm sorry to interrupt. Keep going.
No, you're good. I was just going to say it's in their minds.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It is in their brains. And
they came out timid. They came out waiting for something to happen and something happened. They got punched in the face and then they kind of just never recovered. Now there was that blip of hope. We scored that amazing free kick, you know, off the deflection and stuff like that.
Tillman.
We're back to 1-1. But we just played timid, you know what I mean? And I'm not a Pulisic hater by any stretch, you know, but I'm also kind of a He shouldn't have played. It's just if you're hurt, and they were calling it out on the broadcast too. Like, if you're hurt, go down. And then that's when Freeze had that horrible disaster and whatever, you know.
Yeah.
So it is kind of an uncertain, you know. My takeaway was, hey, there's no shame in losing in the World Cup. I mean, you make it to the World Cup, only one team wins, you know.
Sure.
Mexico lost at home in the World Cup. Canada lost at home in the World Cup, right? But the difference for me was, man, Mexico lost to England, but they played like their hair was on fire.
The great match. And
they were giving everything they possibly could. Paraguay totally outmatched this entire thing. They played like their lives depended on it, right?
That's right.
We did not play like that at all. We played lackadaisical and we're just standing around waiting for Belgium to beat our ass. And guess what happened? They beat our ass.
Beat our ass.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So it was really more like, oh man, what a bummer. Like, there's no shame in losing, but it's just the way we lost. And to your point, the mindset, I think, was kind of a clunker, you know?
So, and I think there was a tweet, oddly enough, it was Matthew McConaughey that I saw. And it basically was like, hey, out of all of this, like, blaming and let's just boil it down to what it was. Belgium's a superior team and kicked our ass. Like, at the end of the day, that's it. All that other stuff, like, Belgium deserved the credit. You know, they kicked our ass.
Absolutely. I mean, their FIFA rankings, I think, are higher. You know, they were the higher, better seeded team just in general. You know what I mean?
Like, we were favored. I don't know
really
why.
Wow.
But we were favored by a little bit of a margin, I think, going into it. But, you know, it's a bummer, dude. But, you know, if we want to stay focused on the positive, then, I mean, what a great run. Like, we had a great run. We played some great matches. And, you know, we'll see you in 4 years.
We absolutely did what we were supposed to do, which is get to the round of 16. My thinking was, if we get past the round of 16 and we win, you know, another game, that would be an unbelievable stratospheric experience. So it is like a little disappointed to do what we were probably expected to do. But, you know, this is sports. You know what I mean?
Here's a hot take. I'm going to say that in a way, you know, the World Cup, as we've discussed, has been overwhelmingly positive in terms of just global unification. Totally. I mean, there have been some little hiccups and some incidences along the way, but this was by far, the U.S. team was by far the biggest wart, right, on this World Cup. So in a way, I'll say I'm okay that we're out, because now we are back to, like, it's all positivity. And, like, we're done with that. And now we've got incredible matches coming up.
Yeah.
I mean, the England-Norway match is going to be bonkers.
It's going to be awesome. Who are you pulling for?
I got to pull for England.
Do you have a favorite? Yeah, I mean, I'll probably pull for England as well.
I've got so many British friends that, like, I kind of feel like I got to pull for those guys. Although I will say, Haaland for Norway is one of my favorites of this World Cup.
Yeah,
just he's such a goofball and
both on the pitch, but then off the pitch too. It's so hilarious. You know?
And have you seen the video where it's like it's the most nonchalant goal ever, where he's literally just lumbering around on the field, and then he just takes like three steps with a burst of energy and delivers the most powerful header, one of the most powerful. I mean, the guy is an absolute beast. So I really like
him. Yeah, it honestly looked like he was completely disinterested in even being there.
That's right.
He wasn't running. He was like, he's just standing there doing nothing, like just kind of barely even watching the game.
That's right.
And then it was like, there's an opportunity.
I guess it's time
here
to score now.
Yeah. Don't score. You know? Yeah. That's pretty. Yeah.
And if you don't like the Viking row, something's wrong with you.
Yeah.
That is one of the best celebrations in sport. Yeah.
I hope it's just a great game. You know, I hope it's a great game.
I do too.
And I hope it doesn't go to PKs. As excited as I was for all the PKs at the beginning of the knockout rounds, you know, it is a cruel way to end a game. I feel like, you know, I mean, I don't know how else you do it. I mean, it is the rules. That's how you do it. Right. But like, I don't want to see any more center backs missing the entire target. You know what I mean? Like you're not even, you're kicking it just sky high over. Like,
did you watch the PKs in the Colombia match yesterday?
I did not. I did not.
They were, it was
bad, right?
Yeah, they were bad. There were a couple bad ones.
I don't want to. No surprise. I chugged a bunch of NyQuil and went to bed. I missed that one.
What's the alternate? The alternate would be to introduce the golden goal.
Yeah, bring the golden goal back. We've had, the reason why we're in PKs though is because we've played 2 15-minute extra periods and nobody still scored, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, they can't just run forever. Right. I mean,
right. Well, that's why it's okay. We're going to do one. You know, we're going to do a 15-minute period and it's golden goal. That's it.
Yeah.
Like,
but what happens if nobody scores?
Then you do another 15. You keep playing until there's a golden goal.
It's like hockey. It's like hockey rules then. Okay.
Yeah. Cause sooner or later, these guys are going to be dropping like flies.
And
then it's going to be like 5-on-3.
I mean, there are some games where, man, I've seen some guys at the end just, they're done. I mean, they're cooked. I mean, because they say you run between 6 and 8 miles during a regular game. Then you add an extra half hour on top of that. Add in the adrenaline and the pressure of a national team and playing, you know, in the World Cup. You've been running forever, you know, like exerting maximum energy and you're just, the tank is empty. I mean, absolutely.
And you're in a heat dome.
Oh, yeah,
you're
totally.
In a heat dome, so it's like 95 degrees outside.
Well, it's okay. They've got hydration breaks where they can sell more commercials. So that's I know, we talked about that last time.
That's right. Yeah. Or you're in Mexico City where it's like 7,000 foot of altitude and you can't breathe. Like,
I cannot believe that England won that game, too. I mean, and what a crazy game that was. I mean, because that is ultimate home field advantage. That really, really is, you know?
That was a good
short turnaround
from
the English up a mile and a half high. I mean, my Lord. So
insane. Insane.
Well, you've got English friends. I've got some English pals as well. I think, you know, positioning or switching over to today's topic, actually, I just did a whole photo shoot with an Englishman, right? One of our photographers. There's a bad segue in there somehow.
I'm okay with it.
But I thought it might be fun, you know, to talk sort of tactical, right? About one specific little thing, you know what I mean? Or one little area of advertising and design. You know, we're talking photography and video production, right?
Yeah.
You know, a necessary need, right? When these things occur, right? We just did a photo shoot for one of our favorite clients and shooting a bunch of food, right? A lot of food, right? You can't half-ass food. Food has to look delicious, right? If you are shooting food for like a retail package or menu services or whatever the case may be, right? It needs to look amazingly delicious, right? You can't like iPhone this. I mean, it's got to be like a real looking thing. Or if I'm in the frozen food aisle and I got to see like, oh my God, like it needs to look absolutely incredible, right? So there's definitely is an art to food styling, to shooting specific for food. And one of the shooters that we use, you know, very specifically, you know, focuses on food, right? Knows all the tips and tricks and things with food, as opposed to like, hey, if we're shooting people, right?
Right.
That's a totally different skill set. Or shooting on location, which we've done. We've got great stories over the years of going on locations and shooting all sorts of crazy things in crazy places, right? And doing things like that, right? Honestly, some of my favorite business trips are definitely, we're probably thinking exactly the same thing.
The mine?
Going out to Wyoming. Yeah. And having just the trip of our life shooting that whole thing. So.
Yeah. You know, it's definitely like, and it's true, the most talented photographers. And by the way, for people who don't know, like the iPhone is not replacing photographers.
Yeah.
It's okay. Like it's okay. It's going to be okay.
Yeah.
Amazing machine, but it's not replacing photographers. And the most talented photographers, yeah, generally focus on one, I would say two max genres, right? Being food or maybe I do lifestyle, yeah. I do landscape, but they're very specific in what they do. And it makes a big difference. And I remember early on in my career and it was like, I don't remember what I'm shooting, but it had to do with food. And I wasn't yet wise to the art of food styling. And I was like, oh, okay, well, I'll just make it look good. I don't remember what it was, a salad or something. And it was photos back and you're like, oh, no. And food stylists are, they're a rare but talented breed, I will say.
Absolutely.
And we are tweezing, we're tweezing little radish snips and it's quite a fun thing to watch.
Yeah, it's cool. It's cool. Well, and they're all, for the most part, they're all professional chefs. I mean, they're all like, oh, they're a professional chef for 20 years and now they're a food stylist, right? So they not only know how to prepare everything, but then they also have that creative vision for the things that you can't fake, right? Like how do you, you know, can you brown up a piece of meat by painting some molasses on it or, you know, things like that, like little tips and tricks on how to make things look good in camera, right?
Right.
So.
What is your one of the most memorable photo shoots that you've been on, would you say?
Well, definitely the mine, because that was, you know, when we went out to Green River Basin, Wyoming, right, and went, 1,000 feet, 900 feet, some of that underneath the Earth's crust.
Way down.
We shot a lot of video down there as well, and then it created a bunch of videos, and that's a totally different, you know, rig and setup. But, you know, it's photography has changed a lot from the beginning of the career to, I mean, I'm old enough to say, hey, we used to shoot black and white Polaroids, you know, for lighting, test the lighting and everything like that, right? And then we'd shoot 2.25 transparencies and then you send it off to the lab to get developed. I mean, anybody listening to this is going to have no freaking clue what the hell I'm talking about, right?
Right.
And then 3 days later, you get, you know, your transparencies developed, you use a light table and a loop. Right.
I mean, pick your selects.
Yeah. Literally grab one of these guys and, you know, looking through it to find the one.
Yeah.
And then you got to send it back to the lab to be drum scanned. Right. And then, you know, So early in my career, I remember doing, I did a lot of work, and I think you did too, and we worked on stuff later in our career with sealed air, cryovac, right?
Oh, cryovac, yeah.
Yeah, cryovac, yeah. Right? I did a really, really fun photo shoot with dogs. It was for their dog food, because you used to use the string to open the dog food. And then they had like a zipper system that was all about selling like this, keep the dog food fresh all the way down to the end, right? But I learned a tremendous amount with animal handlers and how to trick dogs into doing what you wanted to do. You know what I mean? So,
you used that when you shot Mars.
Then we did that entire thing where, for all old Roy that's on our website and all the Mars stuff, you know what I mean? Like, hey, rub your lens cap with cheese, you know, get on down into the dog, you know, and then take the lens cap off, click, 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 you know, like that kind of stuff. Right. So, a lot of fun stuff. I think, like most people maybe, and then I want to hear some of your stories too, but I think like most people, it's not necessarily what you're shooting. It's kind of some of the fun memories and stuff is kind of the ephemera and who you're shooting it with and sort of the, you know, the vibe, right? You know what I mean? The sort of the experience more so than just the project, you know? And that then bleeds into great work, right? You know what I mean? If you've got a great relationship with clients and photographer, you know, if there's a great team, and we're all working on it together, the end product's going to be fantastic, right?
I think that's right. So. I think that's right. It's. I think about like fun photo shoots, like or video shoots. I always laugh and chuckle at the HTH shoot that we did. That was so,
oh my gosh,
it was so random. We had to shoot a bunch of call it content, web content that they were hoping would go viral. And this was for HTH, the pool chemical cleaning company.
They're still around. They're still a thing.
Of course they are.
Yeah.
They're huge. And, we went out to LA and spent a few days out there.
Yeah.
Shooting some of the most ridiculous stuff. I mean, there was underwater dancing involved. Yeah. It was kind of a run and gun shoot. But I just remember sitting there thinking, how ridiculous is it? I remember specifically thinking like, because our shooter was great. The team was great. We were having a good time. And I just remember being out there in LA, like in a pool and being like, what am I doing? Like, I get to do this for a living. This is great. Like, this is amazing. Came away with some really fun stuff out of that.
One of my favorite shoots that we did together never saw the light of day. And you probably know the story behind it more so, was the Comcast dodgeball spot.
Oh, the dodgeball.
Do you remember that?
Yeah,
The idea was, this was, I mean, again, we're dating ourselves, but the idea, memory serves, and you might be able to refresh better than me, but like, it was all about the bundle. It was, right? It was phone, internet, TV, right? And the bundle and the bundle, right? And we got the nerdiest, dorkiest looking dudes dressed in like 1980s gym wear. Remember that? With like headbands.
Oh, yeah.
Super short shorts. Yeah. The ring tees or whatever. And we spent basically a half, and then I think on their shirts, it said like phone or
it said internet. Yeah, it was internet. Or whatever.
And we spent a half hour winging dodgeballs, those old red Voight dodgeballs, at these guys as hard as we possibly could. And it was like they had glasses on and we're trying to hit him in the face so the glasses would fall off, you know, hit him in the stomach, hit him in their private. I mean, it was absolutely hilarious. That was my moment where I'm like, what are we doing? We are and it was, I don't remember what the cut line was or but it was basically like nail the target, you know what I mean? Like bundle, you know what I mean? Like, get all three, you know, that type of thing. Right. But do you remember what, like it never,
we that never one finished. Never, I can't, we shot so many Comcast spots.
There were two that I don't think ever made it through the Comcast store. That one was one. And then the other one was the chef. Remember the chef thing?
Film
the cooking show or whatever.
We shot at the Viking store.
We shot at the Viking store on Peachtree. Yeah, exactly. But man, the nerd, the dodgeball thing, I was having the time of my life because we were all just winging these balls. You know what I mean? Just trying to, oh God, it was hilarious.
I remember we shot a bunch of cool stuff or fun stuff for Comcast.
Yeah.
And I remember, and you worked on this one too with me, I believe. It was the old alien invasion, right? With the UFOs and things.
Oh, totally. Totally.
And basically
I love that one.
I don't even remember the premise of the spot. I just remember we had a scale model of downtown
Do you remember where it was? I could tell you. It was Little Rock, Arkansas. Oh, I ruined it.
It was Arkansas. Was it somewhere in Arkansas?
It was Little Rock, Arkansas.
Yeah, Little Rock, Arkansas.
Yeah.
And the model was probably, I don't know, what would you say, 10 feet by 10 feet? Yeah, 8 feet by 10 feet?
It was bigger than you think it would be. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was huge.
And we built these like flying saucers.
Yeah, vacuum formed flying saucers with light.
They came down on fishing wire and we shot down in the city, and it was all about aliens coming into town. Well, I remember doing that. That was a fun project.
It looked like they came from outer space. They descended, you know, and they brought with them, you know, like Comcast technology or whatever. Yeah. But I remember our shooter had one of those old school, like pull trigger, 8mm kind of things.
Yeah.
And he got down in there.
Down in the city going around.
Yeah, it was awesome. That was super.
And then
super
that, fun. Remember when we were done with it, we took the model and drove it up to the Comcast headquarters in Little Rock for them to put in their lobby, I think.
Yeah.
That was a fun one.
Yeah, but that, so like that video production, that's, you know, even when you shoot commercials, right? It's like you got to find the right director for the right concept for that right idea,
right?
Versus like, hey, I'm shooting pets for pet care, or I'm shooting amazing, you know, food for food photography, things like that, right? Or environmental, you know, situation, you know, outdoor stuff or whatever, as you mentioned, landscapes and things like that. So it's you know, it's important to have a good team, right, to execute the vision and things like that, right? And have a great client that bought into the concept and wants it to succeed.
It all starts there.
Yeah.
And, you know, I will say that, you know, I'm not saying anything you don't already know, but like, you know, technology has come a long way. So to your point where, we used to shoot on film and you have to pick your selects and all that stuff. Now you're shooting thousands of images, right? If we're talking still photography, it's just
shooting
thousands and thousands of images. So you have a lot more, you know, it's way more efficient now. You can get a lot more out of it. And we're flying drones around and doing all the things that...
it's unreal. Yeah, I mean, so we'll pour a beer, right, into a glass, right? And then to your point, it'll be... And then we just quickly go through and we go, okay, you know, that's the one that has the right top. We're going to take that top, put it on this photo. You know, like you just, you know, it's amazing how, you know, and then, oh, by the way, it's all just digital. I'll upload it for you. You'll have it in a day. You know, that type of thing, right? It kind of boggles the mind. So, but it also makes clients want to think that they can change things that easy as well, you know? So,
yeah. I wasn't going to go there, but
Well, it's there's a blessing and a curse. You know what I mean? I mean, hell, Canva's running ads on TV about layer sets and how easy it is to make changes. It's like, oh my God, what are you doing? Don't ruin it for us, you know? So craziness. Yeah.
No, but it's fun. Shoots are great. It's a fun part of the job for sure.
It is a fun part of the job. So, well, Rob, where can people find us to start that job?
Ooh, you can find us on the interwebs at mocktheagency.com, of course, and on all the socials, because we are nothing if not social.
We are very social. We're very social. And we're very happy to talk to you about World Cup as well. If you reach out.
Yeah, we'll talk about World Cup till we're blue in the face, really.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to be sad when it's over.
Dude, there's going to be a global sadness.
We're bookending this with World Cup.
There's going to be a global sadness, I'm telling you. Even today. Today was like the first day.
There's no game.
There's no game on today.
Yeah.
And I'm like super pumped because it's normally on in the office and, you know, we're all watching and it's great and it's fun. But like, there's nothing on today. Although I think we have one tomorrow, right?
I don't know. I trust you. I believe we probably do.
I think we have one on tomorrow, but then I think the England game you referenced, Norway, is on Saturday, I believe. Okay.
Yeah.
Nice. It'll be a big weekend, but it's coming. It's we're whittling it down.
We're getting down to we got 8 teams left, you know, so
I know
it's happening. So all right. Well, we'll catch you next time, everybody.
See ya.